Ready, set, go. And we are here, the Off-Road On Air podcast again. We've got my man Andy, Marley, and myself Thomas. How we doing, boys?
Hi, yeah, not too bad, mate.
I'll hit this with the intro.
I was going to say it's jumping a bit of a carry-on.
What's Sam Young's new merch?
Oh, I love Sam Young, but his new merch I think I saw today was a bit of a carry-on.
What did he say?
Oh, it was just a dude in a chef's outfit, and it said, "Oh, pots are made for stirring."
Ah, I love it.
I was like, "That'd be a good one for you, mate."
I always say, "I did an apprenticeship. I wasn't a chef. I was a fitter and turner because I fit it into a pot and turned it into shit."
That's like I tell people my job title is a steel erection technician specialist engineer.
That's brilliant.
So what does that job entail? I'm like, oh, I put up scaffold. Steel erection technician specialist engineer. I put up scaffold.
I've got some Sam Young merch on the way. I'm hoping that I've got a t-shirt. I've got one of his Thievery King shirts. I can't remember which one.
Ooh. I'm going to get some more merch. I haven't had money in the last few weeks because of all the public holidays we've been having. So hopefully this week I'll be able to buy some more merch.
I bought it a while ago. I'm wondering if it's taking a little bit too long. Fam, if you're watching, I bought a shirt so long ago. I haven't received it yet, mate. I don't know if this is probably your inquiries and complaints line, but help a brother out.
Time for a shirt. I'm going to get a shirt from Sam. I'm going to get a shirt from a bunch of people. Does Kieran do shirts?
No. I've been telling him for ages to do merch.
I was telling him about how nice his car would look at the front of, on like a nice clear water with the blue paint. Oh, I'm keen to see that on an Instagram photo.
Hold on, man. I can get you some bushed up merch.
Oh, sweet. I love supporting creators and stuff because I'd want other supporters to create other creators to support me if I ever started doing the same thing. So,
hell yeah.
I've got one for you, Marley. I need your address. I can mail it to you.
Oh, thank you, mate. I'll send it to you after this.
Yeah, okay. So where were we? Food wheel driving shirt, Marley. Where were we?
Where were we? We doing an intro again? Do we delete this first bit, or we rolling?
No, I'll do something. I do something fun, so we're basically we're rolling. I basically cut the intro from the start of the last video and just put it on this one. Makes it so much easier. Saves me doing it twice. We can just go straight into it. What were we talking about? Right. I have absolutely no idea.
Welcome back to Off-Road On Air. We were talking about camping, time of year, people you go, dogs and kids, I believe we're up to.
Ah, yes. As the foremost expert of taking kids camping, Andy, take it away.
taking kids camping. Look, it's much like having them at home. They've got to be entertained. And I'm a strong believer of you cannot take kids camping if you don't take their bicycle. And I know there's a lot of spots where they can't ride, but they just ride around, especially the little kids that are just on them little Strider bikes that don't have pedals yet. And they wobble around like little balance bikes. You've got to throw that in. You cannot take, it's torture. Take a kid away and don't let them take their bike. It's very hard. They want to play with fire. They want to play with the river. You've got to be watching them 24/7. But between taking kids and taking dogs, I will take kids 10 times over before I take dogs camping. Dogs camping is just me and my missus played a game once. We went away with a couple, like a group of people that brought two or three dogs, you know, between. It wasn't one couple that had two or three dogs. It was a couple of different couples, and there were two or three dogs between them. And we played a game to count how many times they have to shout the dog's name. And we lost count at 30, 40, 50. We just got sick of them screaming their dog's name. Well, yep. Whatever the dog's name, we'll call it Bluey for argument's sake. But it's just every 5 minutes, Bluey, come here, Bluey, sit, Bluey, drop it, Bluey, get out of there, Bluey, do this, Bluey, do that, Bluey, do that. And it just drives me nuts, man. Like, your kids, yeah, you say to your kids, oi, stop, don't touch that, put it down, get back over here, sit in your chair. They do it. You tell a dog, yeah. Oi, stop that. 2 minutes later, it's over there doing it again. I got three kids, mate, and I will rather take my three kids camping than take one dog. That's for damn sure.
Yep. I hear you. I haven't even got any kids yet, and taking the dogs
You've got three dogs, though.
I've got two dogs. Yeah.
Oh, dear, so I can get three, yep.
One dog causes enough mischief for three dogs, though. they're always, because they're two beagles. You can't let them off. There's no way that you'd be able to train them it's just easier to just leave them on the lead. They've just got a long lead and they just get clipped. I've got a few tie down clips that on the trailer. So whichever way the camp's facing, they just go on the trailer. If they've got enough room to run around, they usually fall asleep underneath the trailer anyway. I'll never be able to trust them off lead. They would just see an animal and disappear, never to be seen.
You reckon it'd be acceptable for me to do that with my kids?
Just put it, get a big one lead so they can still get around.
One of them body harnesses and a really long lead, and I just hook them to the camper trailer for the weekend, and they'll have a bowl of water and a bowl of food, of course.
Absolutely, I see no issue with that at all.
If you get a big bungee cord, you can strap them to the tow ball, and then they can just run and bounce back, and they'll have a ball.
My kids love it because when we're camping, there's no rules, there's no bedtime, there's no. No, you can't eat that. No, you can't drink that. It's camping is a fun time, and there's no rules. And they love it. They want to go camping every weekend. I wish I could, because they're all about it.
I love it. That's awesome. How do you camp? What's the style of your camping with family and kids, Andy?
The easiest way is to just go to the caravan at the solar. You just chuck all three kids in the car, jump in the Prado, and away you go. Stop at Coles on the way. You don't need to take anything because it's all already there. Otherwise, we will go with the camper trailer if we're going somewhere different. And then the camper trailer, all the bicycles go on top, and I can put the motorbikes on the A-frame and one on the drawbar at the back. So we go, we go fully loaded. We're pretty heavy. It's pushing, it'd be 16, 17, possibly 1800 by the time it's loaded, full of water and everything. But we have done, our record was 11 days just off in like Wanagatta. Drove into Wanagatta on the 1st. We didn't come out till the 12th.
Yeah, right. That's remote.
Pretty epic couple of weeks.
And do you want to know why we had to come back out? We started to run out of beer.
Valid reason.
We planned on it being 2 weeks, so 14 days. But I overindulged in some of the tinnies, and the supply ran short. So
we ran too hard the first night, mate.
We figured we had a good run. We'd just pack up and go home.
That's why I always like taking the old sneaky goon sack with me as well, mate. If you're on the beers and then you go, oh, it's time for bed, you just pour yourself a bit of red. One, I reckon, after about a dozen beers, and you put one red down, you're gone. You'll feel that warm. You'll feel that warm spot in your chest, and you just fall asleep in your chair.
I'll do that with a bottle of port. So the camper trailer's got an emergency stash that's always in it. I'm not a big Jim Beam fan, but there's a bottle of Jimmy in there, a bottle of rum, bottle of port. The missus loves wine and vodka and stuff like that. So yeah, there was a few sneaky ones stashed in there, and they all got cleaned out, mate.
I love it. Marley, have you taken your puppies camping?
Oh, I have, mate.
That sounded rough.
That was just one of the
yes or no answer.
Yeah, I've taken the boys camping once before, and that was definitely not a very fun night. I'll tell you that for sure. So we rock up, and my mate said that he wasn't going to bring his dog. This is to that birthday party we went to a few weeks ago. And they said, oh, did you know you could take dogs there? I was like, oh, cool. We'll take our dogs, see how they go. He's like, oh, sweet. I'll take mine as well if you guys are. And my dogs don't deal well with big dogs because they're only little. So they get scared of the big dogs. They'll bark all afternoon. So they were barking constantly. To my partner, the dogs are basically like children. So the dogs are with us 24/7. They're going to be in our laps, or while I'm driving, they're going to be in her lap. And we're stopping every couple of minutes because she says, oh, they might be thirsty. So we're in the middle of the track. I'm halfway in between the convoy, and I've got to stop so the dogs can stop and have a drink of water. And everyone's going off. And then gets to the end of the night, and the dogs are barking, carrying on. So we go to put them to bed, but they refuse to sleep in their little dog bed that I brought them. So I had to go to bed with them, with my partner, and they slept in the swag. I wake up the next morning to two shits and a piss in my swag.
That's the equivalent of the kids throwing up in the back seat.
Yeah, two shits and a piss in the swag. They've chewed up all my brand new. I had one of those really good King's sleeping bags that like you unzip them and they go like a really big blanket. I had one of those. They've chewed up all that and pissed on it, so that got thrown out. That on the way home, my the corner of my brand new swag got chewed up as well. But they were all right. They slept the whole way home. They just didn't sleep at all that night. Fuck. So I don't know if I'm taking the dogs camping again. If I do, it'll be my way, and they'll be sleeping outside the swag. But we have to be careful as well. At that campsite, there was dingoes around. So it was either they were sleeping in the car or sleeping in the swag. So we decided to have them in the swag with us because it was also quite cold. But I don't have any kids, but I've got a story of me when I was a kid, which is pretty bad. I remember we went to Rainbow Beach. We used to go to Rainbow Beach for 2 weeks every year on Easter. And that was more like my dad and our family getaway for the year, a big one that we'd always get keen for. Dad and mum set up the whole camper trailer because we were only young. I was probably about 7. I didn't really know how to help. And my middle brother, he was probably about 5, or he'd be about 5. So we're out there. Dad and mum have decided to go have a nap because they've finished setting up the campsite. They're a bit tired. They just told us to stay around camp, don't go near the water, blah, blah, blah. So what do you do as a 7 and 6, 7 and 5 year old? You go play down by the water.
What are you doing?
The classic.
So me and my brother have this old fishing rod that my dad brought us, and it had like a plastic fish on the end of it. And we were casting it out, and then we'd reel it back in, pretending we caught a fish. And then my younger brother decided he would cast it out and then run back up the beach. And we thought it was funny until a ranger pulled over. Ranger pulled us over. He said, where are your mum and dad? We're like, oh, they're asleep in the bedroom. So he's walked us up, and he's woken up my mum and dad, going off at them, saying that they should be watching us. Which we probably should have. We were supposed to be asleep as well, but we got up halfway through it. And yeah, dad had a bit of a hissy fit and decided to pack up, and we all went home. So
yep.
Sorry about that, Dad.
Hang on, straight away. Yep, nice.
Yep. That afternoon, he's like, "No, nah, I'm done. You kids don't listen." Then you guess what? You go home. So we all had 2 weeks planned of camping. We stayed there for about 7 hours and we went home. Oh,
Jesus.
Worst part was, as soon as Dad and Mum started packing up camp, it started pissing down with a thunderstorm as well.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
So I just remember me and my brother sitting in the car. We're playing Uno, and Mum and Dad are yelling and carrying on out the front. Well, we're sitting in the patrol. I just see Mum and Dad yelling out the front with their dross bones on, trying to put the camper trailer back together. And yeah, that was pretty funny. But now that I look back on it, I was probably a little shit that shouldn't have been out playing around on the beach, running up and down the sand dunes and stuff. But oh well.
Yeah, we learn, mate. Oh.
Brilliant. Yeah, I didn't
do that again.
I love it. good stories like that will battle harden you and enjoy the times when you've grown up a little bit more. Yeah, I think
my favorite part, was going back to school because my teacher knew I was so excited we'd go camping. My teacher was like, "Oh my God, how was your camping trip over Easter?" I was like, "Oh, we were there for a full 7 hours."
That's brilliant.
Similar story to that, not as much, but as I said to you, we planned to meet at a certain spot. So we had a designated campground we were going to, and we had a mate that was supposed to arrive later that night, and he's renowned for cracking the shits and taking his bat and ball and going home. So it was the next day I got up and I'm like, "Where is he? Like, he was supposed to show up last night and he didn't. I wonder where he is." So I got on my bike and rode up to the top of the hill to get reception. And as I left the campsite, you get on the track, and I went over the first washout and I saw the tire marks of a car that had done a U-turn at that washout. So it was dead set, not even 50 metres from the camp. It had done a U-turn at that washout, and I sort of seen it. I'm like, "Oh, I don't remember. None of us done a U-ey there and whatnot." So I got up to the top of the hill and I rang him. And he's answered. I'm like, "Oh, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I'm at home." "What do you mean you're at home?" He's like, "Oh, I followed that track that you told me you were on, and I followed it for hours, and it was going nowhere. So I turned around and I came back." I'm like, "You fucking for real? I saw your U-turn this morning, dude. You're about 50 meters away from where you needed to be." So he turned around and drove back the 2.5 hours home. And then he said, "All right, well, I'm coming." He then drove back again that day once he had come. And I mean, he was driving in the dark. It was fucking close to midnight, you know, and you don't know if you're on the right or the wrong track. So, yeah, I thought that's hilarious. Yeah. To get so close and just turn around and go home.
Nah, too hard basket. I'm not doing it. I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it.
Literally just down the road from it. Damn.
But I understand where he's coming from. He's by himself, driving down a track. He didn't know where he was. And, you know, when you're given directions, oh, you turn right here and it's just a couple of Ks down and, you know, you're getting to 10, 15, 20 Ks down this track. You're like, "Fuck, am I going the right way?"
Yeah. It's like, oh, I had the similar as well too. I had a meeting a mate out on the other side of Marley. You won't know where this is. Freestone Creek, Andy. And yep. There's about five camps all along this Freestone Creek. It's about, I don't know, 45 to an hour long. Few kilometers, Marley, and there's literally only like five major camps that you can camp alongside this track. And I said to my mate, "Well, he's either at camp number 1, 2, or 3. If he's at 4 or 5, the other camps are really full, and he's just right to the end." Freestone Creek is a two-wheel drive track, but my mate is not a fan of the old four-wheel driving. He's just in his two-wheel drive car. So it's a little bit bumpy for him. And it was starting to get dark. And I was like, "There's no reception, so we can't call him. I know roughly where he is. He's got his little sign out that he'll have on the track, so we can find that as well." So it's usually, like, I don't know, a set of balloons or a few streamers that he puts on the edge of the track and the tree as well. And we just kept on going, and we went past camp number 2, camp number 3, and we went past camp number 4, and my mate was just starting to get really steamy under the collar. I'm like, "We've got to bloody get there, or I'm turning around." I'm turning around, and I'm like, mate, we're almost there. And he's like, that's it. And he gave up. He's like, I'm turning around. I'm like, you just wait there, and I'll just go see the next camp, and I'll just give you a bell on the radio. It's just round the corner. It physically was 150 meters away. Pop around the corner. There they were. Send him out a radio call. Make your way up. There you go. That was the end of it. And he was almost about to call it. If it wasn't one more turn, he would have been done.
Very easy to do.
No good.
Very easy to do.
I got
very
a funny story about that. Just yesterday, I was at work. It's not four-wheel driving, but it was on a four-wheel drive track. I was taking the big work truck down the trying to find a job at out near Ipswich. If you guys know where that is, it's like West Brisbane way and it's a bit country. And
yep.
I was pulled up to this road, and on the map it said you have to go down this road and then you got to take a sharp right and then go straight again. I was like, I don't know if this is the right thing. So I drove a little bit into it, and then I started seeing lot numbers down the side. So I was like, it must be down here. Drove for a good 10, 20 minutes all the way down the end of this road, and then I get to the end of it, it says private property, do not enter. So then I'm like, shit, now what am I going to do? I've got a 15 and a half meter long truck or something like that that I have to reverse the whole way back out of this track now. So it took me a good 40 minutes, and I had to reverse it all the way back out of this massive long driveway, which it turned out to be, and that was not fun. And then I got a phone call from the boss, why haven't you done that job? I said, because I'm going home. I'm not dealing with it now.
Brilliant.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm going home.
That's brilliant. Everyone has their fuse, and some are longer, some are shorter, some take a little bit longer to burn as well too. Some burn very bright at the end of it as well too. Some people go out with a bang. This is bloody bullshit. I'm sick of this. You'll never see me again. I'm never going
full
driving
with you guys again.
You have no clue where you're going.
I was just thinking as you said that, I don't think I've got a fuse. I put up with a lot of shit. But then I just remembered this one time where exactly what you were saying. I remember standing at the front of my car and absolutely losing it. So a mate drowned his car in a river. And so we were reversing cars up the hill and then parking them at the washout and then winching his car to the next washout and then reversing up again and then winching him, reversing it. Because towing, trying to tow, you couldn't get the momentum to tow, so it was easier to winch. And we were constantly swapping cars, so one car wasn't doing all the winch power or whatnot. And there was a group of people behind in cars that were still working, and we're all sort of working as a team, getting this car going. And then I hear this gunfire, like this fucking bang. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I look down the hill, and a couple of boys that were back along in the convoy were shooting a rifle. They picked a tree or whatever and started just taking pot shots at something. And I remember busting my guts trying to get this dead car out of here. And the bloke whose car it was, it was dead, he's down there with the gun in his hand. And I walked to the front of his car and unhooked the winch. I go on and I'm like, you guys have got enough fucking time to shoot a rifle. I'm not pulling this car out of here. Went and got in my car and turned around and drove up to like the next morning. And it wasn't until another car come up later and they're like, oh, look, the boys want to know if you're still going to help get this car. I'm like, nah, fuck the lot of you. I'm sitting here. I'm like, you get that car to me here and I'll continue helping you get it out. Until then, I'll hang up the software. But yeah, just sat there, had a beer. Yeah, I had 45 minutes before they got to where I'd stopped. And we continued out. We got to the top of the rough stuff and away we went. But yeah, I remember exactly like you said. You just, it was going well. And then something just clicks and you're like, that's it. I'm fucking done. I've had enough. You take your bat and ball and you go
home.
Going
home.
Yeah, no, it was just all the broken tennis mat.
Oh, that's funny as. You always got to. If you're in trouble and there's someone there to help you, you got to make sure you're putting in more work than the person that's helping you out because they don't have to be there. And if you want your car out, you're standing there by their side, running winches for them.
It took massive coordination to have a car ready to have the winch out, go stop, put the handbrake on, right, leave it there, and there was a couple of switchbacks we had to pull it round in all sorts. This had been going on for hours. We're dragging this car out. And this was sort of before the luxury of calling the likes of Admiral Towing or Rosie Recovery or someone to come and get you out of the shit. It was either you leave the car there or you get it out yourself.
Yep. That's brilliant. Well,
I can just imagine him standing up there shooting that gun and Andy just going off at him and he's like, oh, shit.
And he probably hadn't even shot it yet. He probably just grabbed it and was like, oh, geez, this is a nice gun. And then I start yelling at him.
Give me that gun.
Yeah, hello. Right, okay, moving on. Where are we at?
So we are working on to the last topic. Setups inside the workshop and the portable workshop you take with you. Andy, you're the master.
I was going to say, I'll let you guys throw your two cents in first. And then because otherwise I'll say something. You just go, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that. So I'll let you just tell me, how do you roll? How do you roll, Tom? What do you do?
I roll with, what do I got? I've got a set of sockets that goes in the car. I've got everything up to, I think, about 30 mil. And then I've got a few, like, I think I have two shifters, a few big screwdrivers that are usually just pudges, flathead screwdrivers that are good for wiggling and pushing and pudging and stuff. What else?
More pry bars.
Pry bars. Ring spanners. I think they're up to 25 mil or 28 mil. I can't remember. Everything's pretty much metric. And I always take the old faithful rattle gun as well, too. There's a few bits and ends and bobs and little pliers and other stuff like that. That always goes with. And usually that's also the kit that lives in the old tool shed as well. So because I'm jumping back and forth between cars, it's in two bags. So usually it's the two tool bags that goes in and the one recovery bag that also goes in as well too. So that's usually the gear that swaps between each of the cars as well too. And I'll use that in and around whenever I'm doing work on it as well too. So that just makes that super easy. I do have a lot of tools that I do leave behind, but they're usually just, they just don't get used as much because they're most of the power tools and stuff like that. The only power tool I really take is the Ugga Dugga machine, just in case, because just the convenience. I mean, the most common thing you're going to swap in and out is definitely a tire, and just to have the convenience of if you need to, especially on a tire, makes it super, super convenient. And there's always someone else that has a decent socket set that you can pair that up with as well too. Worst case scenario as well.
What jack do you use?
I've got a bottle jack. One of those little bigger ones. Yeah, I think it's rated for like one of those like 10 ton. And it's just basically one of those tiny ones. Duck, duck, duck. Yeah. I mean, the Toyota ones are pretty useless as soon as you start putting on lift. So, and you can't really take a proper trolley jack. So, the bottle jacks are always the best. And I think I've got a brick somewhere as well.
I've got a story for you about trolley jacks. But we'll, Marley, what are you doing? What tools you got at home? And what are you carrying around the back of the car, mate?
So I've got the in the back of the 80. I've got the comprehensive kit from King's. I think I got it 4 or 5 years ago and I've slowly just added a few extra tools into it. Like whenever I buy a set of sockets and stuff, I lose a few and then I'll just say, oh, stuff it, put the whole thing and the rest of them in there and buy a new socket set for in the house. So I've got a nice fresh one. And then I've just got ones that I'm all right to lose if they ever roll down a hill or get stuck in the mud or something, I can't find them. In that kit, it's just all your half inch bits, flatheads, Phillips heads, but they've all got they're a full tang design, so you can hit the end of them with a hammer and you don't have to worry about the actual handle breaking because it's got a full tang through the whole thing. I've always got a voltmeter in my car, just for, especially with my car, I get a lot of electrical issues with the dual battery system and voltage drop and stuff all through the car. So I've always got one of those on hand. I've got the mini impact gun just for just cracking a bolt, and then you just want to quickly get it out, do the rest of the way. And I also carry around a grinder, just both the Zito, just some cheap ones. I'm not too worried about them.
Either of you says was a cordless grinder.
Yeah, always go a grinder. And then if I'm going camping, I'll take a sib saw as well, but that's not so much for the camping. That's more for camping rather than the actual, yep. And so that's my comprehensive kit that I take there. And it's all inside of a Fox Racing helmet bag. Because yeah, nice. the King's one shit itself, and I've had that Fox Racing bag for ages. I found it on a track a few years ago. So I was like, sweet, I'll use that. And in my shed, I've just got a single car garage, so I can't really put that much in there. The missus is pissed because their car doesn't fit anymore. But I've just got all shelving down the side with what have I got? My slide hammer. I've got my seal setters, like you know, you get your seal. Then you smack the end of it, and it's like the perfect size, so that way you're not hammering around the outside and setting it off and stuff like that. I've got all my proper Milwaukee tools in the shed as well because I use them for work. I've got the grinder, the saws, and everything like that. I've got all my paint gear and just all your stuff that you'd use that you wouldn't really think that you need outside, and if you can. I have all the stuff that can get me home so that way I can fix it properly at home, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yep.
For your question with the jack that you asked Tom, I take around a high lift jack, and then in my shed I've got a trolley jack, but it doesn't work very well, so I just use the high lift jack for everything, especially because it's on 3-inch lift and 35s now, so the trolley jack doesn't do much anymore, so...
Yeah, I've found with a high lift, you have to, if you high lift off the bar work, you have to lift the car so high in the air before the wheel comes off the ground.
Yeah, so it gets a bit dangerous sometimes.
I'll carry a jack stand and I'll high lift off the beadlock. And yep. You only need to go two, three clicks. You hook in the inside of the beadlock. Two, three clicks, get the wheel up in the air, put the jack stand underneath it, Bob's your uncle. But, I'll run you through the kit first before I tell you my trolley jack story. So for the car, I've got a couple of space cases, and like yourself, Tom, when you're swapping from one car to the other, I've got a space case and it's just got tools written on the top of it. It holds just about everything. Yeah, sockets, Allen keys, screwdrivers, pliers, you know, circlip pliers for doing CV changes, even you know, side cutters, tin snips. It's got angle grinder discs in there. It's got recip saw blades in there. I'll stick a rattle gun and angle grinder. I normally wouldn't carry the recip saw, but the blades are still in there for if you're in that big of a jam, you use it as a file and start recip sawing something away. But that's my go-to kit. And as I was saying, when I work on a car at home, I'll use that box to do what I have to the car at home rather than using my toolkit in the shed. If I'm doing a full engine out something, I'll just use the tools in the shed because it's much easier. But yeah, I like, because that way you know if you need something and it's not there, you can go pillage it from the toolbox in the shed. But as for in the shed, I'd love to have a hoist. That would be awesome. I've got a couple of mates that have got hoists. And that makes life so much easier than it than rolling around on the ground. My piece de resistance is I have a tire machine, so yeah, I can fit and strip tires, mostly for doing beadlocks, big 37-inch tires on beadlocks. It's just super handy for popping the beads off. Standard shit welders, grinders, everything you need. You've seen the games that I play. But the jack, I use a factory Nissan jack with a socket welded to it, and you just rattle gun, dugga-dugga the jack up and away you go. The high lift.
Brilliant.
And the high, pie lift is handy to use as a I got a tree wedged under the car once, and I was able to use the high lift to jack the tree out from under the car. It was all stuck, messed up. No, apart from that, that's it. Tools, wise. You gotta have everything you need, don't you?
Yeah.
Here's
one for you, Andy. What's your go-to tool brand that you use when you're doing all your windstruck racing and stuff? Because you'd want to have a pretty quality sort of tool set.
Look, I use Makita everything just because I've got the batteries for it. It's cheaper for me to buy another Makita drill than it is for me to go buy a Milwaukee one and a new set of Milwaukee batteries and chargers and everything. So I've had Makita and I just keep using it, yeah. Whereas each to their own, I don't see one brand any better than the other.
Yep.
I've killed a couple of Makita drills, but let's be honest, I'm pretty rough on the gear. I have not killed a Makita rattle gun yet, so...
Pretty good, eh?
That's it. But high lift, right? Not high lift. So trolley jack. I did not take, this was one of them trips where it was just going to be a nice quick night. I did not take any tools, no jack, no nothing. So I got a flat tire, tore the sidewall out of a tire. And I've got, well, that shit. So who's got a jack? And everyone's like, oh, no, I don't have one. And someone goes, oh, I've got this bottle jack, but I don't have the handle for it. So we're there with a bottle jack using a screwdriver to try and turn it to get it up enough to be able to use the wheel. And we managed to get it to touch the bottom of the shock. But as we're turning it, we're just driving the jack into the ground. Like, this is shit. And then a mate was there with a little Suzuki Vitara or Sierra. And he goes, oh, I've got a jack. I'm like, oh. I'm like, we sort of looked like, no, your jack's not going to work. He goes, no, I've got a trolley jack. And he goes to the back of his car and he pulls out this like workshop style. It's as big as a slab of beer.
Like, oh, they're the big ones.
It must have taken up the whole back of his car. And he goes, here, I've got this. I'm like, you fucking, like, hey, where did you have that? He goes, oh, it's just in the back of my car. I'm like, oh. I'm like, you have it, like strapped into Wazoo. What is that? No, I just got it rolling around like from side to side. And I just put my head in my hands. I'm like, if you roll and that thing comes flying through the back window of your car, like, you have any idea what sort of trouble you're in? But yeah, as you said, yeah, like who the hell carries a trolley jack? And for all cars for this thing to come out of, a little Sierra or Vitara, I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, he comes walking over this thing and all the boys just start laughing. Like, are you fucking for real? So we've been there for half an hour trying to screwdriver up a bottle jack, and he's been leaning on the bonnet of his car with a trolley jack in the boot the whole time.
That's hilarious. Absolutely. And obviously the Off-Road On Air podcast here, you can get us on YouTube. You can get us on iTunes and Spotify. If there's anything else you want to hear us on, hit us up. We'll try and make it available on your podcast of choice as well too. So thank you very much, guys. See you in the next one. Cheers.
Sweet as, guys. Well, see you later. See you, boys.